Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. I am Ann Ortley, your astrologer here in New York City at the Bright Red Desk. And I'm waiting for Heather to join us. Mark may join us, but he's feeling a little under the weather. Very often, eclipses bring out illness. We have a little cold. We have a little sneeze. We get and a friend who just came down with COVID. So it's kind of the, you know, the germs want to escape us too. We had the eclipse on Saturday, which is always fun, kind of release things, and now we're heading towards the new moon. So we have another week and a half of eclipses, and then we're off into the new energy. So watching for Heather to join. In the meantime, hope you guys are all feeling good. This week, as we leave the eclipses and they go, goodbye, goodbye, we're off to do the new thing. There's a very positive energy of shift and change. And I see Heather just looks like she just popped in. Can you unmute yourself, Miss Heather?
Alrighty.
There you are. You're
okay,
in.
Okay, here.
Hi.
I am. Hello. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from Ronan, Montana, where it's 14 degrees out and snowy.
I always like these reports from Montana. I'm like, 14 degrees? Wow.
It is.
It's a little cold
today.
Here, too. It's 46 and cloudy. But 14, Heather. Oh, my God.
It's kind of exciting this morning. It got up just above freezing for a few hours this afternoon for the first time in three days. But it's back down to 14 tonight. I think it'll break pretty soon, and we'll go back to fall weather. But we've had full-on winter for this last week. Eight inches of snow. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a time of extremes. We see that in all forms, astrologically, politically, personally, snow-wise.
Everybody's really feeling it. Yeah, Colorado hit a bunch of snow, too. Mm-hmm. My stepsister put up a bunch of pictures of the snow and the quiet. And they had like four, but they live at the foothill, you know, they're kind of up in the foothills. So they got a bunch of snow, it's a busy week, and it's a brand new energy because we're releasing, which helps us let go of stuff, and we go forward into the new area. So in my case, I'm having surgery on Thursday, and I'm releasing my uterus. It's going off into the woods, and my ovaries, too. We're off into the woods, And it was
you
like, okay, and I've been hopping
so
the
much freer afterwards. You will feel freer.
That's what everybody says.
Lighter.
Yeah, the only bad part is it's a little big, so they have to do a regular hysterectomy rather than the robotics.
Yeah.
Because it's the size of a six-month.
I had it.
Size of a six-month-old.
Ouch.
I know, it's big. He said it kind of grew gradually. I'm like, yeah, I got a six-month-old baby in there, you know, so out it comes. Wow. Out go the fibroids, out go the uterus, so it's all good. We're on forward motion.
You will feel like you have energy in the months ahead when you don't feel like you're just sharing that. A series of Scorpio planets is the perfect time for pelvic surgery or for getting to the root of anything. It's a good time to kind of, what is the root of your problem? And
let's dig it out and clear it out.
Yep. With them, that those Mars aspects are surgical. And you're doing it rather literally, you know. Sometimes we astrologers do it rather literally, but there may be other forms of surgery people are doing in their lives, cutting out difficult people or a bad habit or a food that they know they shouldn't ought to have. Or, you know, unfortunately we're seeing surgical strikes in terrible places, but yes, and we're seeing how can we make that better.
Well, the whole point of it is transformation, and that's the goal. We're heading towards that north node in Aries. We're clearing out the stuff to go free, to fly free, which is always helpful. Yeah. And so it's kind of a, you know, it's a big change. I mean, the world is really, really feeling the shift. I thought it was really interesting today that they came out with an article about the new speaker's wife, and she apparently apparently counsels based on the Hippocratic Hippocrates Mm-hmm. Of course, he was an astrologer. So she has phlegmatic. And I mean, as I was reading it, I'm like, she's counseling on astrology. I wonder if she knows that, you know, the various types of beings that they are. And so I was like, wow. Well, she's calling it biblical, although Hippocrates wasn't around at the time of the Bible. But, you know,
right,
whatever.
Wasn't biblical. Right.
Yeah. They're creationists, what can I say? But I thought it was really interesting that that was, you know, she does phlegmatic. I mean, I was reading it, I'm like, this is astrology. I don't think Mike knows that, you know, so we'll see.
Well, so many times generally people, I'm Christian, I can't be for astrology, and I'm like, who do you think the three wise men were? I got some
and what did they do?
Comments.
They followed a star.
They followed a star, and they were magi.
If it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have Christianity, right? Yeah.
Right, and that you know, I've seen that I said, you know, we're not saying astrology is religion. We're saying astrology is a wonderful, powerful tool. And
right.
As far as I'm concerned, what is, you know, nothing? The universe that was created by divinity is not a human version of divinity. It's what was actually created. Let's look at creation. But okay. Anyway, not that I'm worried about that, but that shows up.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No, I was laughing about it when
get
I
those
saw
comments.
It on the Internet.
Uh-huh. Well, good for you.
But it's
good
all
catch.
Good. Yeah, it's kind of one of those, I was reading it. She counsels based on what? Phlegmatic types, you know?
mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, we just got to post on that somewhere, you know, so... What can you do? Spread the word. She's into astrology.
There's all kinds of new stuff coming through. That's good. Mm-hmm.
I know. And we have Saturn going direct this week. Yay, Ra.
I am excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. It's like, okay, forward motion, full steam ahead. We're ready for the next chapter, whatever it's going to be.
When Pluto turned direct, we saw what was hiding behind the scenes. People were planning, you know, often when Pluto and Mars turn direct, there, you know, I said there's an increase in terrorist attacks. And there was. It was right on time for the Hamas, because all the stuff they've been brooding on while it was retrograde comes out. And it's, you know, there may be some control issues that come out as Saturn turns direct, but I think it will be more like things that have been on hold finally get to manifest. And it may be helpful in creating healthier boundaries. You know, one of the problems that we're seeing in the Mideast is a violent boundary crossing in both directions.
Right.
And when the boundary, when Saturn isn't respected, it gets messy. You know, good fences make good neighbors. And in this case, it's really tragic, boundary crossing.
Yep.
So we hope to see maybe a chance of rebuilding healthier boundaries when Saturn turns direct.
Completely, yeah. And I think also, you know, clearly there's now that things are kind of emerging, there was a little bit of a plot to get rid of McCarthy and replace him. Well, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
So now we'll see what Matt Gaetz crowing about. He's super MAGA. I'm like, all right, let's see what he can do. No, I'm like, you came in on bad aspects, guy. You came in on an eclipse. Let's see what happens by next spring if you get taken out. So I'm good with it. Mm-hmm. I'm all good with it. The world is changing. So, and the goal is consciousness, awareness, like what's going on, how do we get there, paying attention. And that is really what the eclipses have brought up for many, many people. A lot of people are really seeing things they never saw before or seeing them in ways they never saw them before, right? So that's the other part of it. So... It's a big deal, yeah. And with Mercury, Mars, and joining this week, they kind of have a big story, too, because they're giving us a kind of an aha moment in terms of our direction and what we're doing and where we're going.
Right.
Because they're, excuse me, they're how we think and why we, and based on how we think, we take how we take action. So they have a nice energy for that. And we have, what else do we have this week? We have a couple things. We have Venus,
Venus opposed Neptune.
And Venus opposed Neptune, right?
Yeah, the signal's breaking up here, guys, so if I'm not coming in right, I'm sorry. Venus opposed Neptune. Oh, good. And, you know, which is great for Halloween. It's wonderful. You know, what's the illusion? Everybody's wearing a mask, but are we really wearing a mask? The process with Neptune, and it gets more closer to exact on this coming weekend, which is the actual halfway point between the fall equinox and the summer solstice, because Halloween fell a little early this year as far as that goes. But that to watch out for illusions, you know, what illusions are being busted open and what illusions are being challenged. You know, I'm thinking of Neptune opposed Venus. Buffy St. Marie is accused of being a pretendian, like she's not really native, and no one knows. They're trying to trace
she's
it down.
She's accused of being a what?
A pretendian. That she said she's Native American, but is she? And she says she was adopted from a Native family, and her family says, "Oh no, you weren't. We're white. We're white all along." And that wouldn't be any problem except for the fact that she got a lot of acclaim for that. You know, there's no one knows. And the question is, with the Venus opposed Neptune, there are a lot of places right now where, and that's, I think of her as a creative Venus, and, you know, she's a singer, she's, you know, was a real social conscience for a long time. And I happen to know from my own issues, you don't always know what you are until you do your genetics.
Right.
This, with her, I feel like there is, you know, it's for all of us, look at what we believe. Are we waking up? Is there an illusion that we've been living under? Are we perpetrating an illusion? Do we need to let go of something that we thought we knew about and isn't there? So, you know, the thinking of the layers of how this goes and to before we, to kind of just, you know, if you hear a rumor or you hear an accusation or you hear a wonderful thing, doubt it this week. You know, like that may be a partial truth. So enjoy creating fantasy on your Halloween costumes. And be careful about things that you assume are true.
Right. Okay. That's a good way to think of it. I like Venus Neptune because it does give that kind of wonderful, positive love energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has a deeply creative energy. And we also have Venus. We also have Venus this week. She's also Mercury's opposite Uranus, which is fun, you know, on many levels. And we also have Venus trine Uranus on the 31st. So it's like quick, fast, fast. So she's a busy girl this week, yeah.
She's Venus busy is girl.
Up to her tricks, yeah.
But if you fall madly in love, stay in the present moment, you know, like, ooh, that person is adorable, not, ooh, that person's adorable, now let's get married and we'll have kids in the third week, and just really stay in the present moment with it, with Venus talking to Neptune and Uranus, and have fun.
Right, because she's a happy girl. She's trining one, and then she's opposite the other, and they're kind of like hanging out together, you know, it's like, ooh, that sounds like a party. You know, yeah, I had a friend who just got, you know, has been dating this new guy, and he's like, let's go away on a vacation this weekend. And she's kind of like, what? He's like, I think we should go away. So I said, you going to do it? She goes, well, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, well, hey, sounds like a fun guy. Let's go. You know, so she's just going a little fast, Ann. I'm like, well, you know, it's a Venus-Neptune weekend, so it will go a little fast, yeah. Encouragement, so. Yeah. But nothing. I think it's a lot easier this week too, Heather, don't you? With the hard aspects, the Mars, Jupiter, and I didn't see any particularly the hard aspects this week coming in. Nothing like last week.
But
right?
We're moving into
We also have the
Sun-Jupiter
opposition this week too.
Yeah.
Yep. Say again.
Exactly. That's nice. I like that.
Yep.
Mercury's past that Mars conjunction, but, you know, it's still going to be a little snarky. Expect that kind of the what's out of your mouth. You know, so many comedians, I think of Johnny Carson, that have that Scorpio, you know, they know how to jab with the snark. And you notice that our wisecracks may not always be kind in this. What I'm worried about is that we're moving into that Mars opposite Uranus at the end of next week, and that's going to be starting to cook. And
that's one
Jupiter
on the
opposed
on the 11th,
Mars
right.
can be competitive. So there's these kind of big rolling things that'll be in the background that I think we'll see acting out in the Mideast and in the Ukraine and maybe in our neighbors. But we don't have to live it out that way. You know, we can
look at
we can use that as dynamic energy towards something positive.
Right. And when Saturn stations to go direct, he's back in March again, because that's when he entered Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
So he got all the way up to 7, and he went, oh, no, I made a mistake. Now he's going back. And then once he goes direct on the 4th, it's full steam ahead, 90 miles an hour, right? So very fast, very quick. And he zips into, you know, he zips through the early part of Pisces. So that's the other thing to remember. You're going to really feel the energy because then he goes forward until he hits his retrograde, which is, you know, a lot of times when the planets come out of the gate like this where they're going, okay, I'm ready to go, I'm going out of the gate, zoom, there's a real speed to it. And it's important for all of us to kind of go, oh, that's very speedy, and now what? You know, so kind of ride the energy and really, really think about, like, how you want to handle it or how you want to work with it. You know, a lot of energy moving forward. But not bad. I mean, I was kind of looking at this week going, oh, you know, after last couple of weeks have been really difficult, we may make progress on the government. We may make progress on, I don't know that we're getting peace, but at least working in a slightly different mode in the Middle East. You know, because last week I really was like, with China storming in and all this all this stuff, I'm like, we might be going towards number 3. Yeah, it was very scary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
And I won't say it's gone yet, you know, that
no.
Often what gets started on those fixed signs lasts for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
to your point, Israel is a very fixed country. They have they're a Leo Taurus square. So they, with Uranus on their Taurus stuff, it really stirs the pot.
And then Leo, that Leo lineup. And that's all being aspected by the eclipse. So we're just hoping that it moves into a good place.
Hoping that it calms down a little.
Right.
And we get to go
forward
with happiness and peace.
On Halloween, the Gemini moon will can be quite fun for trick-or-treating. I mean, Gemini is the sign of the neighborhood. And, you know, it will be moving in and around the neighborhood, in and around, and a chance to talk and kibitz and visit without having to go into heaviness. And I'm hoping, you know, that people can take a break from the heaviness, because there is so much heaviness, and take a deep breath and enjoy the Venus aspects, and because, you know, we've got more heavy stuff coming up, and to take a break and to think on how do you celebrate, Samhain? I do a release ritual. I visit with my beloved dead, and I send love, and I try to sweeten the future. What do you do?
I kind of do it. I like it because of the Halloween All Saints Day, so it's kind of the veils are thin. So I tend to visit relatives. I used to have a friend who would always leave a ritual, and we would go down and help. You know, because this is also when a lot of the people that died this year cross over and they go over the other side. So they're kind of like, okay, ready to go. And so I kind of like it for that kind of, you know, that contemplative space of it. And I can remember the year my grandmother died, you know, we did the thing, and there she was going across. And I was like, hi, Grandma. You know, I'm like, Grandma came, hi. She came over, gave me a hug, and she, you know, and you're kind of like, did that really happen? Was that like, what was that about? You know, because I was just doing the ritual. I wasn't really thinking of, you know, just doing it. And there's Grandma. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. And, you know, it was interesting because my uncle had had a hard time with her leaving. So she didn't, you know, she passed, but she didn't go over. She hung around for a little while. So, yeah, so it's all good. Yeah, but it's, I always find it kind of interesting. And that was really, you know, we would do that every year on the new, on the it's because it's also the Celtic New Year. And it's the cross quarter date where the planets are on world points. So makes us
in New Mexico on the Day of the Dead, we would, you know, every the old school Mexican restaurants up in Taos, you know, the family ones that have been run for generations, always had the altar up with the marigolds and all the pictures of the beloved people who've passed over and their favorite food on the altar. It was just a really lovely visitation.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
It was really sweet.
Kind of really an invitation to hang out and have a good time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shall we take a caller?
Yeah, I think that sounds good.
Okay.
You get to pick. You know the phone numbers better than I do.
All right. Hello, area code 505, you're on the air. How can we help you?
Did you say me?
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Yep,
you're in.
Hello. You're in. How? When were you born, and what's your question? And hello from New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Hello. I was having some difficulty with my phone there. So my name's Sharon. And
hi, Sharon.
Hi. I was born April 12th, 1974. 8:03 a.m. Washington, D.C.
And what's your question?
So I moved to a new part of the country in 2017. Are you hearing me okay?
Yes, I can.
Yep.
Okay. Since moving, I'm not happy with my social life, and I'm not happy with my love life. And I know there are differences, but I wonder if you
can see. And where did you move to?
I moved to get away from somebody. No,
okay.
I cannot do that.
Okay.
It's a safety issue.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So we can't tell you about that place, but we can talk to you about, you know, various other things.
Yeah, I'm just, that's too bad that you can't have that information. Well, actually, I can tell you I'm in the central time zone. Does that help you?
Okay. We can help a little bit. And so you're back, well, taking a look at your chart.
So I'm just wondering if you can see,
it looks like you really had to move.
Is it going to turn around? That's my question. Like, you know, my friendships.
I don't know if it's going to turn around there. There's some work to do. I think you have dear Aries, you know, Neptune is going to be squaring your Mars and Saturn for a while longer. And Venus, Saturn is coming up to your Venus and Jupiter. So it's more like if you can do the work to create a sense of safety for yourself, because I think right now you're going out and coming in and going out and coming back. You know what I mean?
Going out where?
The world,
what?
Anywhere. I mean, like you're reaching out energetically and coming back in energetically. Like there, you have a real ambiguity about interacting.
Oh.
And Pluto's coming up to square your Venus. It's going to be, I think, another year before you feel safe enough to really extend yourself and send a really clear message out to the world. So think, like, what do I need now to feel safer in this world?
A year would be great. I've been here for almost 6 years. If this can turn around in a year, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think it can. I think there's just a lot of, if you do some real work on, like, what's my clear message, what would I willingly bring in? And what are you seeing?
Well, I'm noticing the moon, Mars, you know, she's got a lot, you've got a lot of stuff at 29, right, at the very end degrees. So Pluto is still playing with that, and he goes back to 29 next September through December. So he's on your he's on your Saturn, and he's on your Moon. So you natally have a Moon-Saturn energy. So when you shift time zones, you're going to shift that energy into a more ambivalent place, right? By moving from Eastern to Central, you're going to make you're going to drop the Sun out of the 12th, which makes you less need, you know, there's less of a need. But you to be feel secure, but you're still going to have Pluto playing with that Moon Saturn. Am I safe in my home, or does this feel okay?
Mm-hmm.
The good news is Moon just got off of Uranus, so the stuff that sparked the fear and made you move, which that's part of what the chart's showing, is like, okay, we're settling. And then when we get to February, Saturn comes to your Jupiter, which calms the Moon down. Your natal Jupiter is at 7. And when Saturn gets there, which is in February time frame, your Moon starts to relax a little, right? Because your Moon's a little hyper, running hyper. You know, it's like... The other thing that's happening is...
What did you mean by the Moon got off Uranus? What
by
moon?
Progress your progressed yeah. Moon is 24 Libra,
oh, okay.
And your natal Uranus is 24-25. So you've been experiencing Moon coming to Uranus, which gives like a jumpy character, jumpy feeling. It's like, you know, a little, almost like hypervigilant, we're going to say. And you have Uranus quincunx your sun natally. You know, your sun is 22, forms a quincunx to your Uranus. Corns the quincunx to Juno, the partner, the jealous, envious partner. So the progressed Moon has been transiting that energy, activating it, and now it's going to leave it. So that's going to make you feel less anxious about how I work in the world, because it's going to shift you into more of a calmer place. And then when Saturn gets on your Jupiter, he kind of says, okay, where do I want to put down roots? And why? And then the other thing is your progressed Venus just changed into Earth. So Heather had mentioned Pluto's going to square that next year. But we're referring to Pluto because he's danger, right? And you have the Mercury-Pluto opposition, which is not wanting to tell us where you are because you're in the central, you know, that Mercury-Pluto, if I give away where I am. So Venus now is calming down, whereas she was in Aries. So when she's in Aries, she's in her detriment. She's in her detriment, and when she's now in Taurus, she's in her ruler. So remember this summer when we shifted from Venus to Aries running the nodes, we felt a real change. So that change for you was timed kind of a little bit to the move, right? Okay, I'm not safe here, let me go. But now Venus is in a more calm sign. So we're going to watch her calm down, and you also have your progressed sun getting off your natal Neptune. So you're not going to feel so, that was what Heather was saying, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, that Sun-Neptune opposition. So you'll start to calm down, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Moon
in five and a half months,
Moon gets into Scorpio, where you're going to feel more more grounded, because it's going to be out of the drama of the finger of God, which is like, am I safe here or not? Heather, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yep.
I absolutely agree with you. And the idea is what I was saying about making sure that you have a clear message. Notice when you go to reach out to the world, what is it that you really want from that interaction? And see how that you know, you can be very specific. I want to know people on only this much, and I want to, you know, reach out in this way but not that way. I want new people in my life, but I need to know that I can trust them. So, like, be specific, but really clarify what it is you're looking for so you can send out a clear message, and not necessarily just to people. I mean, just to the universe, saying, this is what I'm looking for. Help me bring it in. And I think you're going to see your life changing.
Yeah. It calms down. It doesn't feel so scary. And then when we get to April 14th, Jupiter and Uranus are meeting on your ascendant. And so they're starting a new 13-year cycle. So if you go back to Pisces time, which is March time frame of 2011, there was a cycle that started then that is ending in April. And that's going to make
much more grounded. Started. That's when all the problems started that I had to run from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's when it calms down. And it feels like you're safe,
happy
and you're
birthday
grounded
to me.
And you don't have to be so afraid.
Yeah.
Huh? Say again.
I said happy birthday to me. Because you
happy
said
birthday to you. Yay.
2 days after my birthday. So you said the Moon is going to go into Scorpio and it's going to get out of that finger of God. Are you talking about a progressed Moon?
Uh-huh. Yeah,
your
progressed
Moon
is in the finger of God right now?
At
24 Libra. Yeah, you have a finger of God between your Uranus, your Sun, and your Juno and your Ceres, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Finger of God. Yes.
Are you talking about those progressed planets or
natal planets?
Yeah, well, no, your natal sun is quincunx your Uranus, right?
Yes.
And Neptune is in Pisces, and it forms a quincunx to Uranus. And that forms
okay.
Finger of God.
Okay, it's a combination of natal and position.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination of
natal
your progression
and
your natal position. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about it.
Well, it counts because
that's the
session of feeling a little overwhelmed by stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. We're out of time, so we're going to say
good
luck
for your help.
And goodbye.
Okay, thank you.
And, you know, consider talking to an astrologer off the air sometime, somewhere, to take a look at relocation charts for you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Okay,
everybody
bye.
Else, I'll see you. This is Heather Rowan Robbins from Montana.
And Ann Ortley signing off from the Bright Red Desk in New York. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.